Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning, everyone. This is Danny Nesvedarani, your host for this hour of Speak Up, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. I hope everyone had a good and restful weekend and family day as well, whatever you decided to do with that day. And we're going to start with this episode with a pretty long piece that I did. Before we get into any of that, though, I just want to acknowledge that this program, as well as all of our programs here on CJSF, are broadcasted on the unceded and ancestral lands of the Hulkamilam and Squamish speaking peoples who have been here on these lands since time immemorial. Now, to start off, I'm going to be playing a piece that I did last week where I went to the Museum of Personal Failure. I went on their very last day, which was on February 9th. So I went while all the people that brought their things to this Museum of Personal Failure were picking up their failures. And I got to speak with a lot of them. And a lot of them did want to speak, and I didn't want to not include any single particular voice that wanted to speak. So this piece is about 28 minutes. And I don't want to say too much about it other than I hope you enjoy. So without further ado, here is my piece. Reporting from Vancouver, BC, this is Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. The Museum of Personal Failure in Vancouver's Kingsgate Mall was an exhibition entirely comprised of people's submitted artifacts of failure. Everything from job rejections, failed art pieces, and broken DIY projects. The museum garnered plenty of community and media attention during its runtime. After almost 2.5 weeks, the Museum of Personal Failure came to a close on February 9th. Originally meant to end on February 3rd, the popularity of the project allowed it to stay within its Kingsgate Mall location for an extra week. A couple of months before the opening, we spoke with Avon Collins, the curator and creator of the museum, about the personal failures they'd been receiving. At the time, not too much was revealed, but on the last day for the museum on February 9th, CJSF stopped by around closing time, where we were able to speak with many of the people who were collecting their submissions of personal failure. Please take a listen to the conversations that we had with 7 people who submitted their failures to the museum.
So my name is Jamie, and I guess like Jamie Greenberg is like my full name. Then as the artist name, it's like Jamie, all capitals, exclamation mark, where the I would be. I submitted the $33 bill failed album. So 6 short failed instrumentals from around 2021 when I just started learning to produce music, and they all suck in their own unique way.
Can you tell me more about these instrumentals? I guess like it was meant to be sort of a full length album or project, and it sort of just didn't work out that way?
Yeah, so like, these are some of the first ones that I really ever made. They were kind of meant to be an album. I sort of picked from like a bunch that were like the first files that were sitting on my computer and just kind of thought like which ones, you know, I didn't want to submit like 30 or whatever. I mean, not that there was that, like, I don't know, but I was just looking through them and like which ones seemed like they might be entertaining in like how they failed. And so, yeah, like, that was all. I mean, it's not actually on Bandcamp now, but there was, like, an older thing that was called, like, Thank You for Raising Me that was, like, dedicated to my parents that was released in 2021. And I guess this was, like, the first. None of these ended up becoming anything for that, but those were, like, the first. When you first download music software and you're, like, watching the YouTube tutorial and trying to click the buttons the way the guy in the video is clicking them and hoping that they'll sound good. That's kind of what these were like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was your reaction to just the kind of local explosion and popularity that the Museum Personal Failure got? You know, just from the first week, there were already articles with the CBC, Washington Post, all these publications wanted to cover this. How did that feel?
That was like so cool and like unexpected. Like I didn't, because I submitted it like on the last day of the deadline. I remember messaging Avon. I think there was also a thing on like Facebook Marketplace that was, because I remember seeing it, and then I got, there was another thing Failures wanted on Facebook Marketplace, and then I messaged, and then December 14th was the original deadline, and I just had forgot about it and let it go by, and then I got a message that was like, oh, hey, we've extended it to like January 1st, and it was like the night of January 1st I sent it in, and I was just like, yeah, cool, I mean, might as well, like, this seems, and then it was just like, because, like, you know, not to, I don't know, like, like, you know, like, I was in the CBC interview, and then, just for, like, 30 seconds, right? Or, like, not the one where he does the radio interview, but, like, the like, news piece. I was in that for, like, 30 seconds, and, like, some of my friends saw it, or, like, relatives, or, like, people, like, messaged me, and then there have been people who just organically, Avon said they just did it on their own without anyone prompting them, like, started leaving notes next to the CD of, like, what they liked about the songs and stuff, and it was, like, so cool. I got to meet the first person who ever paid money for my thing on Bandcamp because of this. Like, they saw it in this. All my stuff on Bandcamp is like $0 minimum donation, right? But someone went to pay like $10, and then I saw them there, and it was like, that was so cool. So it was actually like very, you know, like, I'm just starting out as like an artist, so it was like such an awesome, fun experience. And Avon has been so welcoming to me, or just anyone, like, to hang out in this space or whatever, right? So, mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Avon.
Do you feel like you've learned anything that you'd want to share from this experience?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like, you know, just, like, I guess putting stuff out there and being yourself, I mean, those are, like, maybe kind of cliche, like, whatever lessons that you might see on some random post with a minion or something on Facebook or like whatever, but you know, you like learn it more when it's in person, because it's like one thing that I liked about this was like it was stuff that those old like files or whatever would have just never gone anywhere. They might have been lost as I move from one laptop to another, like whatever, and this was a place where things like that are not only accepted, they're like encouraged. And then it's just like, because I had been working on for the past years now, like working on like, yo, this album is gonna be so good, blah blah, and it's like you could just put stuff out, like it doesn't have to be perfect, like you could just be whoever, yourself, anything, imperfect, you know, I mean, it's, yeah, it definitely, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time, and if you, you know, have anything else you want to share or say, what would that be?
You know, you can follow Infinity Jamie, the word Infinity, J-A-M-I-E, on Instagram. I'll be posting stuff there, and then the Bandcamp is, jam1e.bandcamp.com. And yeah, that's it. Thank you for your time. Yeah.
Hi, my name is Charlie, and I submitted a pair of scissors to the museum.
Okay, and why did you do that?
I took some barber courses during the pandemic, and I am 40 years old, and I've always struggled with having any kind of employment, and I thought that that would finally be the thing that I could learn consistently enough and do enough, and I had kind of a country song happen where my teacher died and my school closed and my stuff got stolen, and needless to say, I'm not really a barber, although since putting it in the museum, I have actually started to try to cut hair again a little bit, so we will see.
Would you say, like, this submission and everything that's happened in this museum has kind of, like, inspired that?
It's definitely part of it, yeah. There were a few other things going on, but it got me thinking a lot about my teacher as well. And he was a writer and an artist, and he would have really loved it. And I actually ran into another person who was looking at my exhibit and talking about how they were a failed barber and didn't realize it was my thing. And they worked with my teacher, and we got to talk about him and bond over that, and they haven't been working as a barber either, so now we're both going to maybe try. We'll see.
That's awesome. I mean, How did you first discover the museum? Like, did you kind of see like a poster online, or was it around Kingsgate Mall?
I saw a poster off of Hastings in front of a grocery store. The Failures Wanted poster, and I was like, well, I feel like that a lot. I have to know what this is about. And yeah, I just sent them an email.
Awesome. Yeah, and how is it the reaction and the reception and attention that this exhibition has gotten? How has that felt? Like, how have you reacted to that?
I mean, I think it's such an amazing thing to see something that someone did from such a personal place in an alternative way, and then to have that reach such a mainstream set of platforms is really, really cool. I think it sounds like it's something people really need right now. One of the things that really resonates with me about it is the way that it's a bridging space. You can't always tell from looking at people's submissions what their background is or their culture or their identity or their any of that. And it's just getting people together through the common human experience of feeling like you failed. And I got to know Avon through the museum, and I've spent several hours just sitting at the front and getting to hear people's stories and seeing just, yeah, the wide range of ages and people that come in has been really, really amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is there anything you feel like you've learned from this experience?
Just that this is stuff that is just as needed and wanted as I guess felt like it should be. And because I feel like I'm someone, I have ADHD, I have a lot of ideas, but the follow through is really hard. And seeing Avon just go through with it, just have this concept and decide to take it on, and then do that from such an honest and personal place, and seeing the way that everyone has responded has just been a very heartening thing. And it's just more of a sense of hope of being able to bridge the gaps between like more and less alternative communities or other bridging other divides in that kind of a way.
My name's Kieran Nickel. I'm a writer and musician and artist in general, I guess, and I wrote a novel on my typewriter. I have a Remington typewriter. It's an old one, and it's funny because it has some Icelandic characters on it, which I don't know how to use, which is part of the failure of the piece. But I wrote this actual like true story kind of novel about love and romance and art and music and stuff like that, and thought that I would sell it and make $1 million and be rich and famous and then never have to work again, but it didn't work out that way. But I'm still kind of proud of the fact that I wrote a book, and so that was my submission to the Museum of Personal Failure, was this kind of concept of my own, this book that I had written and that never saw the light of day. And then I brought the typewriter because that was what the vessel that created this book, right? So
How with the amount of coverage and popularity that this museum has sort of garnered, like, what is your reaction to that been?
I think it's fabulous. I think it's like, it's very funny to me that this Museum of Personal Failure is such a raging success, and I think it's very cool that it is, because people can look at failure and see that actually you know, it's like there's no such thing as a failure. It's just like something happened that didn't turn out the way you envisioned it to, but it still is like a real artifact, right? So it's a matter of perspective as well, because sometimes you feel like you fail in life, but then you realize that you learn something from it anyways, right? So I think the healing message of this of this show or exhibit is that you know, failure, although it can feel crushing at times, is something you can get over, you know, if you just change your perspective.
Do you feel like, you know, through maybe like some of the conversations and things like that that you've had through this experience, that you've learned something?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, I was standing next to a girl who was reading about my novel, and she started crying, and so I was like very touched that she would be moved by something that I had done. Reading other people's write-ups about their submissions and getting a peek into their kind of, you know, emotions or their psyche or whatever, you know, is kind of eye-opening, because then you see how other people perceive themselves too, right? Then I feel like I learn about people, like individual people, through this kind of an exhibit, right?
Sure. My name is Sebastian Menes. I am a student at BCIT in my senior engineering year, and throughout my university career, I've been kind of working on a project car, and it didn't work out. I crashed about 4 times in total in that thing. And one of them is because the tie rods failed, and so I have them here and displayed. But after about 3 times of fixing it, I gave up. I couldn't anymore. It wasn't meant to be.
Yeah. And, like, what made you want to submit it to this in the first place? How did that come about?
So as most car guys do in lecture, I'm looking on Facebook Marketplace for just things I can buy on a whim, and I happened to see this ad posting for it, and it looked really interesting. And so first failure that came to mind was my project car, and so I figured I'd submit it. Mm-hmm.
After submitting it, I'm assuming that you didn't think it was going to get to the level of, like, notoriety and popularity and general coverage that it has at this point. I guess, what was your reaction and feelings towards that?
I did not think it would blow up like this. I'm really happy it did. It was a great job done on this museum. So I told my parents, without telling them I was in the museum, I told them they should go check it out. And then I get a picture sent from their phones, and they're just laughing. They didn't expect to see me in here, so I was really happy to be featured in it. Yeah.
Do you feel like there's anything in particular you've learned from this experience?
Definitely, do not fall for the sunk cost fallacy. It's very important. I learned when to cut my losses, and, you know, it gave me a bit more, I'd say, determination to keep going, even when things look rough. So mm-hmm. it was good. Yeah.
Have you had any conversations, like, just with other people that have come and attended the museum about your piece in particular that stand out to you, maybe?
Not at this time, actually. I showed up briefly with my girlfriend, and then I am here again now just to pick up what is left, but I actually haven't had a chance to talk to anyone. I think I might look through the logbook to see what people have said, but I'm looking forward to see what's on there.
My name's Rory, and I submitted the horn, the foot pedal horn, and it just makes a really annoying noise that I thought would sound different, but it ended up sounding awful, and thought it'd suit this. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Did you make the horn?
I guess I've assembled the horn from parts I found and recycled, with the hopes of using it, incorporating it into my musical band, or I don't know, doing some musical thing with it. And it just didn't work out. Yeah, but now it might. I don't know. Now I've learned about noise music, so now people are telling me don't throw it away. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it and it kind of feels like a success now, like. I built it 2 years ago, and it's sat in my closet until I found the posters. And then I brought it here, and I showed Evan, and it ended up, everyone's so excited, and they love playing with it. I've had so many friends come and turn it on and off, and I was like, whoa, you guys like this? I was, like, very shocked at the amount of people that actually liked it, which just kind of made me reflect on what I thought was a failure. It might not be a failure to, like, other people, you know? Like, I don't know how to just... It was weird. It made me really... I think, what's the word? Reflect or take a different look at what is a failure. It's like, I don't know if you can only judge it. Like, if, like... Because no one saw it for 2 years. And then I showed people, and they're like, why you made this? This is crazy. And, you know, and I'm like, well, this is... I don't know. I thought it was junk.
I mean, it is a matter of perspective, right? You know, like, bringing it here, now you've had... just hundreds, if not thousands, of different perspectives.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at it and perceiving it in a completely different way than you originally had.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. I guess just, you know, with that, not just perspective, but also just general attention that this exhibition has been receiving, like, how has that been for you personally?
Oh, that kind of really blew me away. Like, I was hoping, like, I had about 10 or 15 friends that were going to come, and I thought that was great. Because, like, I've played shows to, like, 10 people, so, you know, I kind of get the art thing. And, it kind of blew me away. I ended up talking to a reporter from Edward of Washington, D.C., I don't know if they used my words or anything, but I did talk to them, and there was like people from all over, reporters from all over, and it kind of really blew me away how big this was, and it really resonates with lots of people, and even some other things in the museum were like things that happened to me, or I kind of like, oh, that almost happened to me, or I kind of did that too. So it's really got the human experience that we actually are all are experiencing too at the same time.
What do you think is something that you maybe like learned or taken away from this experience?
That we're our own harshest critics, and that sometimes you can't judge if you're not a good judge of your own failure.
Yeah, sure. My name is Jessica Wallen. I'm an educator and artist, and I made a piece called An Album of False Starts. And so what it is it's like a photo album that I filled with index cards of all the projects that I like talked endlessly about and was like so excited about and then didn't even start or didn't complete. And then also in there are some postcards that I just never sent. So I had that. That's the first portion of it. And then the second portion, I put up a bunch of index cards out and just asked people, like, hey, if you have any false starts you want to add to the album, feel free. Because I found that, like, when I did this, like, each individual false start really felt like a failure. Like, I remember, like, being really hard on myself and being like, why can't you finish anything, et cetera, et cetera. But then when I put them together, it was kind of fun. It made it feel, like playful. It kind of told a story. It made me feel like, oh, you've got a lot of good ideas, even though you didn't follow through on them. And then it turns out that, like, so many people really wanted to do the same thing. So I've had to, like, fill, like, three binders worth of, like, other people's ideas. And yeah, it's become this like really huge album where people just like really want to share their own experience, which is cool.
Yeah, I mean, what spurred you to submit that in the first place?
Like you and I were chatting, like there's just been posters everywhere. Like, I just was really intrigued by the fact that the poster was made with like lino cut. And so I was like, oh, this is like really intriguing. And I've been thinking a lot about failure right now because I'm kind of in a transition phase. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll see what this is about. So that's what it's been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, with the way that has sort of like exploded in coverage and popularity, not just in Vancouver, but like around North America, it seems in some ways. How has that felt for you? Like, what has that experience been like?
I think it's been really, it's been a really gratifying to know that so many people want to share their failures. And like one thing that I've been so impressed with this exhibit is just how organically it's like happened. You know, lots of people just saw posters and then submitted Craigslist and submitted. And then when we were setting up, it just was kind of like so where do you want to put your stuff? And so the fact that it's so popular, I think, just really speaks to this kind of collective acknowledgement that we want to have around failures, especially in such a like late capitalist society, right? We want to push back against that idea of like what success means. So it's been like really, I feel like it's been like a really cool moment.
My name is Zafran Jaffer, ZAFREENJAFFER.
What brings you here to the Museum of Personal Failure here in Vancouver?
My art is in the museum, and today being the last day, I'm here to collect my art and just kind of see what people think of this weird little thing that we've all created.
Well, when I first saw it, I thought it was complete, but according to the description, it was sort of a painting of two bunnies that you sort of cast away with. Can you, I guess, just explain the process around it?
So last year in April, I took a painting class at the Rec Room. So it was about landscape and mountains and the water and all that. And I don't have a lot of paint at home. I don't have a lot of paintbrushes at home, but I have watercolor markers. That's my main artistic tool, medium right now. So I was like, I'm going to practice the techniques we learned in class by making this little piece with the tools I have just to see, you know, practice my skills and see what comes of it. Turns out watercolor markers don't work the same way as paint. They are completely different mediums. And it just came this very, like, faded, shadowy, foggy kind of picture. And I'm like, I don't know how to fix this. I don't have enough skill to fix this. So I just kind of left it. And I was like, maybe something will come to me and maybe I'll figure out with time, like how to improve it or complete it or make it something that I'm actually like proud of. And it just kind of sat there for like almost a year. And then I heard about this, and they were like, yeah, we're looking for our submissions. And I was like, well, I've got this piece that's been sitting here for like 8 months now. You're welcome to it.
Yeah, did you just see it like on a poster or something, just like out and around, or?
I saw it on Reddit.
Okay.
So I'm in, you know, all of the Vancouver subreddits and things like that. And they were like, yeah, we're looking for people to submit like art pieces and rejection letters. And I'm like, well, I have this art piece. It's not the best art piece I've created, but it's here. And since then, like a lot of people who have come and seen it have said that they really like it and they think it's complete. And I'm like, I don't know how to feel about this, that everybody's praising this piece that I didn't even spend that much time on. It's not the best representation of my skills, but everybody loves it.
I'm assuming you didn't anticipate just the level of coverage that this gallery was going to, or museum was going to get, but how have you felt about it? Just the amount of reception and coverage it's gotten?
So the number of places and number of people who have seen it and talked about it is just kind of really wild to me. I was interviewed about it from Washington Post. That was last week, and the interview went out. The interview was 2 weeks ago, and the interview went out last week, Monday. And I've had people come and say they stopped by to see it. I've had friends say that they've been trying to get in interviews, and it's just become this really big thing. And sometimes, like, the smallest event or something you didn't even really give a second thought about, you're like, oh, you know, something nice that'll be good for the community, and then suddenly it blows up and you're like, whoa, okay.
Once again, those were our conversations with some of the people who submitted their own personal failures to the Museum of Personal Failure at Kingsgate Mall in Vancouver. Before leaving that night, we were able to speak with Avon Collins one last time. After all that they've gone through these past few months, the submissions, curating the space, the mass media coverage, we had to ask them, what's next? Avon's response might surprise you. What's next?
Well, resting, probably. A brief rest. And then, hopefully, I think, another experiment.
Okay. And in not necessarily one that has to do with personal failure. It could just be an experiment?
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. I'd like to be something that is just, like, catches my interest.
Okay. I guess, do you have any, like, inkling or idea or maybe, like, an expectation that this may live on in some sort of way?
I think so. There's been a couple of people that have asked if they can do it in their... There's someone from Sparwood who came and was like, do you mind if I do it in my hometown? Which I'm like, yeah, if it wants to proliferate and other people want to do it, I would be delighted. Because that's fun, and that's how culture works, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well... Again, thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you so much for putting all this together. It just feels really cool that, like, we, like, spoke briefly in October or November, and you're like, yeah, you know, I have some people submitting job rejection letters and things like that, and now it is become this.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm really glad that you were able to do the final kind of closing. It felt nice. Bookend it. I forget the beginning of the question or the statement.
Just that, like, when we first started, it was like, I remember you telling me about how, you know, you were receiving job rejection letters and things like that, but there wasn't this, like, clear idea of what it was going to turn into, and now it's all this, you know, a few CBC interviews and Washington Post articles later.
Right, yeah. I think that's one of the cool parts is, like, when you make a space where people can feel free to speak about their experience in some way. Like, people might say some interesting stuff and be interested in what the other people are saying about their experience.
This has been Danny Nesvedarani, your community journalist for CJSF 90.1 FM. This segment would not have been possible without the continued support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this piece on frequencynews.ca.
This is Bird Note. Millions of birds begin their lives in the Arctic wetlands of northern Alaska. Environment reporter and author Linda Mapes visited a few of them on a small pond near Teshapook Lake.
There was a family of red-throated loons right in the center of the pond. The mother, the father, and two very fluffy chicks.
She watched the mother tend her chicks as their father flew off.
And eventually, there's this great commotion, this great flurry.